Epilogue. Giving back to the community. Lyris stared at the reports that had continually streamed in over the last few weeks. As if by some miracle, things truly were turning around, and he was glad for it. He'd nearly considered suicide by mother-in-law. The plan was to ask if it was wise to get pregnant at her advanced age and wait for oblivion. Instead, he was looking at something that couldn't be anything less than a miracle. First, his military reported that they'd suddenly had a surplus of high-quality equipment with which to arm their men. In addition, it was being purchased at an incredibly reasonable price. Whoever was selling this was either unaware of the opportunity to completely fleece the kingdom, or they were merciful and possibly patriotic. All of the equipment that was coming in was of a quality equal to or greater than what they'd armed the military with during the best of times before the iron drought. Second, some new company in the city was buying up materials and reagents at an incredible rate. This had created a sort of unintentional boom in the economy. Since the merchants that sold these materials didn't keep them in bulk like the company wanted, many had started issuing quests to the immortal adventurers of legend. When these adventurers received money for completing these quests, they would inevitably spend it in the city on more supplies or upgraded equipment, further increasing the business done and tax revenue generated. He wasn't sure what this new company was doing with the supplies, but he did know it was almost entirely comprised of adventurers. As such, he could not levy any taxes against them due to the ancient accords for the treatment of the immortals. Considering the tax revenue they were inadvertently generating throughout the rest of the town, however, King Lyris really didn't give a shit about missing out on one business's taxes. How much money could they be making anyway? Finally, the Thieves Guild's activities had shifted. Several small businesses had nearly been shuttered because of the actions of a few of their members. There were also many families whose entire savings were stolen from their homes while they slept, putting many out on the street when their unforgiving landlords came to collect the rent. Sometime later, the king received a message through certain channels that he considered to be a necessary evil, stating that there were events outside the guild leader's control that led to these incidents, and they would no longer be an issue. True to his word, not a single business or working-class family had been hit in over a week. On top of that, several major noble houses were suddenly hesitant to flaunt their wealth as they had in the past. These families by no means acted destitute, but for one trained in the ways of the nobility, the change was easy to see. And when Lyris considered the message from the guild, he put two and two together and realized the guild had started targeting the rich of the city. It wasn't a bad idea, as long as they didn't let themselves get caught. Nobles had a terribly bad reaction to someone touching their valuables. As Lyris finished reading the reports, he looked up to his closest advisor. While he had advisors for all facets of managing both a city and a kingdom, Tyrell was the only one who he would turn to for personal advice.
"Do we know where the equipment for the army is coming from?"
he asked Tyrell after a brief moment.
"Yes, sire. Though I'm not sure how you will feel about the answer,"
Tyrell said in response. Lyris sighed at that.
"Tyrell, what answer could possibly be anything that could bring me pause?"
"Well, sir,"
Tyrell began nervously,
"the representative from the army that was authorized to make these purchases said that he was dealing with a local business owner. He said the man's name was Rowan Vaughn."
The name hit Lyris like a brick, though he didn't immediately understand why. Tyrell had been around since he was a boy and always had a memory like a bank vault. He could keep details in there that most men would long since lose to the winds of time. When he thought of it like that, Lyris realized the name must be one from his past. He racked his mind for a full minute while disguising it as being in deep thought and contemplating what he just heard. Just as Tyrell was going to speak up, however, a memory came to Lyris. It was of two boys playing in a courtyard with wooden swords. The larger of the two was standing tall, with his sword out in front of him in a ready stance.
"You can't beat me! I'm the great paladin, Lord Darman!"
yelled the larger boy. He obviously had not thought of a name for his paladin character beforehand.
I'm not afraid of you just because you're bigger,
shouted the smaller boy before pulling out a second wooden sword he'd hidden in the back of his shirt.
The great adventurer Rowan Vaughn fears no challenge, he said,
clearly having already thought of a name well in advance. As Lyris came back to the present, he found Tyrell wasn't looking him in the eye. He wondered why until he felt more tears slide down his cheek. He wiped them away and silently thanked Tyrell for saving him the indignity of being seen as a crying king.
So, it's him, is it? I thought he was done with the capital after everything that's happened here,
Lyra said as he looked thoughtfully out the window.
Gunnar, my brother, why have you returned?